الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa, I know that this topic is of interest to those people who are going for Hajj. But in spite of this kind of weather, many others who are not going for Hajj have also sat here. So you should not feel that because you are not going for Hajj, so therefore you are not going to be rewarded for listening to a talk on Hajj. Because Hajj is one of the pillars of Islam, and to listen to a mazmoon or a topic of deen, a subject of deen, is more in reward than the performance of 1,000 rakats of nafil salat. A person, if he performs 1,000 rakats of nafil salat, he will get more sawab if he sits and listens to one subject or something about deen. So those who are going for Hajj, inshallah ta'ala, it will be beneficial for them. But those who are not going also will not be deprived of reward. We will not be having a very lengthy talk tonight because of the weather. Lots of people may not have been able to attend. We will continue inshallah. But what we have to understand is this, that every journey that a person takes, how significant that journey is, that is how the preparation has to be made. Tonight's talk was supposed to be on preparation. So therefore, we know that when a person is going to buy a loaf of bread at a corner shop or cafe or tea room or restaurant, then he does not make any real preparation for that. Even in his pajama suit, he will go and buy the loaf of bread and return. Because there is nothing so great about going to a shop that's 2 doors away or 3 doors away. But if that person is going into town, then he will make a little better preparation, because now he is driving right into town. And if that person is going to another town, another city, then the preparation is different. Like if we are traveling to Cape Town or Johannesburg, then there is some sort of a preparation for that prior to that journey. ND 1808, and move your cursor. So this journey to Makkah Mukarrama and Madina Tayyiba, it is a journey of a very different kind. Therefore the preparation for this journey also has to be made accordingly. Those people who go on to the moon, the astronauts going on to the moon, how much of preparation they have to make, physically, mentally, in every way they are being trained, because they are going on a very distant journey. And one does not know whether that person is going to return from there also. But because he is going to such a distant land, therefore the preparation is like that. So this journey of Hajj, it is a journey which takes one to Allah Ta'ala. It is a journey which takes one to His Creator. It is a journey which is very different from those that we undertake for the purpose of tourism, for the purpose of visit to somebody, for the purpose of business and shopping. Those journeys that we undertake, this is very different from that. For shopping, there are plenty of shopping complexes all around the world. A person can go to Dubai, he can go to America, England, and the advertisement now says shop until you drop dead. So therefore, for that kind of shopping, people can go to those places. There is no harm. There is no sin in doing shopping, in doing business. There is no harm, no sin. But a journey to Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Tayyibah, when a person is going for Hajj, then there has to be just one intention only, one niyat only, and that is to gain the pleasure and the closeness of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nothing else must combine with that niyat. If a person is going for business to Makkah Sharif, for example, he is in the import-export business, so then there is no harm if he says that I am going to Makkah Sharif for business reasons. There is no harm in that. Because if those people did not do import-export business, then we would not have been able to get our necessities of life in Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Tayyibah. So there is no harm in doing business, but then the person must say straight and clearly and openly that I am going to do business. I am not going for Hajj or going for Umrah. Umrah and Hajj is by the way, but my main purpose of going there is business. So there is no harm because the person has made it clear that he is going for business. So if anybody asks, where is Mr. So-and-so going, we say he's going for business to Makkah Sharif or Jeddah. So that is understood. But when a person is going for Hajj, when he says, I'm going for Umrah, so then there must be no other intention with it, except that he is going for Hajj and for Umrah. So that Mubarak land, the birthplace of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Mubarak land where the Quran Sharif first came down, that Mubarak land which still has the cave of Hira preserved exactly as it was in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Many other things have changed. Many other signs have disappeared. Even the birthplace of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there is a library there. But this cave on Jabal al-Nur, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has preserved it. And inshallah it will remain like that till the day of Qiyamah, because that is where the first verses of the Holy Quran Sharif were revealed upon our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to go into seclusion in that cave. So this Mubarak land which was visited by all the Anbiya made Hajj. From Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's time, everybody visited this holy land. Where the first house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for worship was built, Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nas lalladhi bi Bakkah mubarakan wa hudan lil-alamin. Makkah Mukarramah has got other names also, Bakkah, Makkah. We should not call it Mecca because of its close association with all the other Meccas of the world. It's Makkah. And it also has the name Ummul Qura, Baladul Amin. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that the first house that was built for worship of Allah Ta'ala was in Makkah Mukarramah. So Makkah Mukarramah, that land, is a land of wahi. It is a land that was visited by the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. It is that place where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's tajalli, His rahmat, His mercy descends 24 hours of the day on the holy Kaaba Sharif. 24 hours of the day there's rahmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala coming down. 60 is received by those who are making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, 40 for those who are making namaz there, and 20 for those who are just watching the Kaaba Sharif. If a person looks at anything else, then he will not get that tawaf and that reward as he gets at looking at the Kaaba Sharif. If a person does nothing, just raises his eyes and sits and watches the Kaaba Sharif, then according to the hadiths, his sins are forgiven. If that person is making nafil namaz the whole night and he is fasting, then too he will get more reward if he sits and watches the Kaaba Sharif. So that place, where can you find another place like that? And then again Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept all those areas there and all those places there for nothing else but so that my servants may find some consolation. They are in search of me. They are in love with me, and they are seeking their beloved. Every person seeks his beloved. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not in human form that we are going to find him here like that. So that noor of Allah Ta'ala, that tajalli of Allah Ta'ala which descends there. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, these servants of mine have kept all these places so that they may come here and seek me. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala rewards them and gives them plentiful. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Al-Hajjul Mabroor, for a Mabroor Hajj, there is no other reward except Jannah. That means in this world there cannot be a reward for a Mabroor Hajj. For in this world somebody will have a headache, somebody will have a stomachache, and if he is fit and healthy, then his children might be sick and ill. Somebody is meeting up with an accident, somebody is in hospitals, somebody died. So no matter how much a person has in this world, but he cannot escape grief and sorrow. The only difference is that those who are Allah walas, or those who have got Allah in their heart, then they look at where it is coming from. So they believe very firmly that it is coming from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala is my beloved. So therefore whatever comes from my beloved must also be pleasing to me. So therefore those who have got Allah Ta'ala with them, then no matter how severe a problem and no matter what kind of grief and sorrow they have to face, but within their hearts there is a certain kind of satisfaction that it is from my Allah Ta'ala, and my Allah Ta'ala knows in His wisdom that this is best for me. So therefore what is coming from my beloved must also be pleasing to me. And those who do not have Allah Ta'ala with them, then they become really restless, full of worry, full of problems, and some of them commit suicide after that. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept those places for no other purpose but that His servants may come there and they may get forgiveness for their sins. And as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that the only reward for a Hajj Mabroor is Jannah, where there is going to be no pain, no problem, no sorrow, no grief, no jealousy, no envy, no pride, no fighting, no quarrels, no arguments, nothing. People are going to eat, drink and make merry. When the thought only comes in the mind, before the thought even comes in the mind, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will provide what the person is desiring. Because in this world he did what his Allah Ta'ala wished and desired, so Allah Ta'ala says, now in Jannat I will fulfill your wish and desire. So this is the purpose of going to Makkah Mukarramah, to get those anwarat, that tajalli of Allah, that noor, that barakat, that mercy, that rahmat. To learn the masail of Hajj is very simple and easy. In 20 minutes time I can give you the masail of Hajj. For those 5 days of Hajj, what masail you need? How difficult it is. You bring a 12-year-old child also, I can teach him in 20 minutes time the 5 days of Hajj. That's how simple it is to learn the masail of Hajj for those 5 days. Without going into too much of details, the basic masail in 20 minutes time a person can convey it to the next person for the 5 days. But what is difficult is that preparation which we term as the spiritual preparation. And generally that is what we are lacking today. Because when we talk of preparation, then different people talk about different kinds of preparation. If it's a travel agent, then he tells you that you must ensure that your passport is valid, that you have a valid visa, that you have your injections. Now these are the type of preparation that he talks about. If the person is a diabetic, and if he goes to his doctor, and the doctor will say that you are going, so your preparation will make sure that you are taking your insulin injections, tablets, whatever it is, and he will talk about that as a preparation. If a person has got a heart problem, then the doctor will say that the place you are going, if they don't have ECGs there, then make sure you take one along with you. But that is the type of preparation they will talk about. But when we are talking about that spiritual preparation, that is the most important thing. All the other things are necessities of life, necessities for the journey, requirements of the journey, and there is no harm in checking with one's doctor what he must take with, in checking with the travel agent what he has to take with, in checking with the others what is required. All those are requirements of the journey. But the real requirement is that spiritual requirement. That what preparation must you make? How must you leave your home? With what intention you must leave? How must you spend your time on the way? How must you spend your time at Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Tayyibah? In what you should engage yourself? What you should abstain from? What are those actions and those amal and those deeds in that Mubarak land that will create a revolution in a person's heart? What are those actions and deeds that will bring about a total change and reformation in a person's life, that when he returns from there, he will be a different person, totally changed and totally reformed? All those dents would have been completely removed, like how a car, when it goes to a very experienced and a good panel beater, when it comes out from there, it is shining and it is once again in showroom condition. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also says that this person who goes for Hajj, and provided that in that Hajj, man hajja lillah falam yarfus walam yafsuq, that he does not engage in anything that is obscene or anything that is wicked. He makes Hajj solely for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he does not engage in any obscenity, nothing wicked. That means he commits no sin of any kind there. Accidentally a person committed a sin, he makes a lot of tawbah, istighfar, and especially in that Mubarak land, Allah Ta'ala will forgive even more. But purposely he does not indulge in sinful activity. And finally, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, wala jidal. The person does not engage in any wrangling, no arguments, no quarrels. Then that person will return from there, kayawmin waladathu ummuhu. Like the day when that person was born, how he was clean and pure and pure. There was no sin on him, no blemish, no weakness, spiritual weakness. This person will return from Hajj like that. Which means that this person, before he leaves, if he rectifies or corrects those areas of his weakness, and then when he goes there, he spiritually loathes himself or fills himself, then inshallah he will return like that. So there are two requirements. One is prior to going, and the other one is when the person is there. And if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person will return like the one who has come, who is just born, then we must believe that the person will return like that, inshallah ta'ala. But provided that Hajj is Hajj Mabrur. And Hajj Mabrur is that Hajj in which a person takes full care of the fara'iz, of the wajibat, of the sunnat, of the mustahabbat. That means he is particular that he must not do anything that is offensive to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He must not indulge in anything that is sinful and shameful. He must not spend his time in anything which, instead of bringing the rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, brings about the wrath of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in that holy land. For example, last year there were advertisements in the newspapers that since it is sunnat to stay in Mina for the 12th and 30th, for the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, those 4 days, it is sunnat to stay in Mina. So since there are only tents there, or majority of them are tents, and buildings are very few, so why go through all that kind of hardship and difficulty? Of course, they didn't put it in those words. But this is what they were trying to convey, that why go through those hardships and difficulties sleeping in the tent there? You can go back to Makkah Sharif, sleep in your hotel room, the next morning go to Mina, go and just stone the Jamarat, and come back to your hotel room, have a good time, and the following day go back and stone the Jamarat, because it's sunnah. So the person that told me this, he says, Maulana, but isn't it sunnah? I said, yes, why, then it is. So that means if you only want to carry out the faraiz, so it's farz to cover your body from the navel to the knee when you make namaz. That's all is farz. So from tomorrow, that's all you must wear and come to the masjid. And I'm sure that the first thing they'll do is look for an ambulance to send you to the asylum. They'll think your screws are gone loose. But then you must tell them that because only this much is farz, so therefore I'm undertaking only that which is farz. So this is what we mean by Hajj Mabrur, that the person must be concerned that the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how did he undertake Hajj? Go through it exactly like that. Then you get Hajj Maqbool and Mabrur. Otherwise it's very easy to write on the bag Hajj Maqbool and Hajj Mabrur. So easy. The person before he departs has already got on his bag Hajj Mabrur. The agents give you a bag and it's written there Hajj Mabrur before you even leave. So that is very simple. But that Hajj Mabrur is in which a person abstains totally from all sinful things. But if you have to look at the Haji's life, the majority today, then the signs are so clear, whether it is Hajj Mabrur or it's a rejected Hajj. If the person on his way does not care and bother about his Salat, he is going to the beloved house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and he is going to the resting place of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, but there is no concern for namaz, there is no concern for other ibadat, and the person is still indulging in watching sinful things, hearing, speaking, indulging in all kinds of sinful activities. And when he returns also, he returns just like that, that the whole plane full of haji sahabs, nobody makes namaz, or very few make namaz. 3-4 namazes go on the way. So what is the sense of making nafil hajj when we are missing farz namazes? In fact, it's not even permissible. Yes, if it is difficult for some reason or the other to make the namaz properly, then you make it in whichever way you can, and after that you repeat. But to make the namaz in the correct time is extremely important. So this is what we are talking about when we are saying preparation for hajj. That other preparation, it is very easy. Go and find out from your travel agents and from the others, they will give you a list of things. And everyone who has been there, they can also tell you about that. But this preparation for hajj is the most important preparation, and that is spiritual preparation. That we must condition our minds before we depart, that we are going to a holy land. We are not going to any ordinary place. It is not just a tour, it's not just a visit. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said, and this hadith you have heard on many occasions, that in the latter times, that means closer to Qiyamah, the aristocrats of my ummah, the rich people of my ummah, the very wealthy of my ummah, they are going to go there for tourism, just to visit. And they will say also that we just went for a visit. The middle class will go there for business reasons. No other purpose except business. There are so many people that are going there up and down now, and they say we are going for Hajj, but when they return and you have to look at their bags, then there's a clear indication of what the person really went for. Again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it is not permissible to do shopping there. But the way our people are now going and doing shopping there, it is going out of fashion. If one Haji Sahib is going to have 10 bags and 15 bags and 5 bags loaded, and overloaded, and when they come out of the hotels, the taxis and those buses cannot carry the baggage, trucks have to be hired. So then we can understand that what was the whole purpose of the trip. And that is why when we come back, as I mentioned in my Saturday talk here, when we come back, the only thing that we have to show and display to our clients, our friends, our customers, our family members, are material goods. Again, it's not sinful. In fact, it is recommended that you should bring a few things as gifts for your family members, simple things. Best is, of course, khajur and zamzam, or 1-2 little items you buy. It's not haram, it's not forbidden. But we have got nothing else to display except our TVs, video recorders, cameras, and all such kind of items. When anybody comes to visit us, you came back from Hajj, how was your trip? MashaAllah, very nice. And what did you bring from there? So then the only thing we have for display are those items. Whereas the real thing that we should be displaying after the Hajj is our practical life. That we should be demonstrating in our life that before I went for Hajj, there was no namaz. Now after Hajj, see, alhamdulillah, I'm making 5-time namaz. Before Hajj, I used to take interest. Now, alhamdulillah, I made sincere tawbah there at the Kaaba Sharif, and I'm not going to touch a cent of interest. I am, in fact, whatever I have taken from people, I will make sure that whoever I can recall, I will go and refund their monies. And if I cannot, if I do not have that much, then I will ask them to forgive me. But that is my tawbah. And if I have not paid zakat, then I will pay the zakat for the years gone by. If I have missed my fast, then I made tawbah there. Allah Ta'ala accepted my du'as at Arafat, inshallah. So therefore I am now going to keep the qazas of my fast. If I took properties of somebody, or if I took some wealth, or if I took inheritance which was not due to me, then I have made tawbah in this hajj, and inshallah now I am going to refund and repay my debt, or whatever is due to the person, I will refund it. Then that is the kind of tawbah the person makes and comes. And when he makes that kind of tawbah and comes, And when he displays that kind of amal and actions in his life, then it becomes a means of hidayat for many, many other people. And others also then get the inspiration, and they also bring about a change in their life. But tell me today, how many people are changing because of a haji sahab? How many can we say, besides a few, handful, how many can say that because so and so went and made hajj and came, after he made hajj and came, there was such a change in his life, that change affected his brother, his sisters, his mother, his father, his grandfather, his family members. It had such an impact on them that they too have changed their lives. They have made tawbah from gambling, from stealing, from cheating, from lies and from false oath and qasam. They all have made tawbah because this person went for hajj and he brought about a dramatic change in his life. And that is what hajj used to do in the past. And it can still do today, and it will do till the day of Qiyamah, because that house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is still the same house. Those rahmats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala have not decreased one bit. It is just like the sunshine, that nobody can say that now suddenly there is a weakness now in the light of the sun, and we will not be able to get full brightness tomorrow, because the sun is there for thousands of years, so now suddenly there is some defect there. As Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam has to tighten the screws now, because then the sun will be delayed by 1 hour tomorrow. Nobody can say that. So just like that, the tajalli of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the Kaaba Sharif is exactly the same. And people with spiritual hearts and spiritual eyes are seeing it. And they are deriving the maximum benefit from it. They are filling their hearts with the noor of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that is giving them such a sweetness in their hearts that it is not something that a person can explain in words. Ask those awliyas of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and our mashayikh and our great ulama and solaha. Ask them what they experience. Just to give you an idea, that Uhud we all visit, alhamdulillah. We keep going to Uhud and we come back from Uhud. We stand at the Rawza of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and we read salat and salam. But when these mashayikh, when these Allah walas, when these walis of Allah ta'ala, when they are standing there, look at that kayfiyat, that feeling. Look at that expression on their faces. And then we will realize that they are seeing something else. Uhud, as I was telling you, that we all see it and we go and visit. But this trip, when I visited Uhud with my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, who is no doubt an arif of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and one with great love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So while standing at Uhud, on the plains of Uhud, he looked at the sky for a very, very long time. Just with his eyes like that one, looking at the sky. So we were wondering, what is he looking at? The sky, there was nothing there. It was all clear. So at that moment, we did not ask him anything, but after that, when we got into the bus again, then asked him, Hazrat, what was it that you were looking at? So he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Uhud with his sahabas in the battle of Uhud and many other times after that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came so many times to Uhud. And he said that Uhud loves me and I love Uhud. So the Hazrat says that therefore I too love Uhud. And therefore every morning after Fajr he goes to Uhud and then makes his ishraq at Quba. So at Uhud, he says, when I was standing there, I was picturing and imagining that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stood here on this land. And when he was making dua, he looked at the skies and raised his hands. And he made dua. And I do not know how many times he must have looked at the sky from this Uhud plains here. So now I am imagining that although I cannot see with my eyes, or we were not there when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was standing here and looking at the sky, but that glance that he cast while standing here, so it was directed at the sky, and who knows that we may be standing at that very spot from where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam looked at the sky. So therefore that tajalli of that was directed from his eyes unto the heavens. He says we could probably benefit from that and get the noor of that in our hearts. So look at their imagination, what we imagine and what they imagine. So there are lots of things that we have lacked and we have to discipline ourselves again. And there is no harm, no matter what sins we may have committed, no matter how far we may have gone, no matter how much of weakness may have set in, no matter how much of defects we may have in our lives, and how much of dents we may have, but that Kaaba Sharif is still the same, because the Kaaba Sharif is actually, or Baitullah is that piece of ground. It is not those stones that are there, it is that piece of ground. And that is the same plot of land, or the same piece of land that is coming down from those days. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat is tajalli, and everything is exactly the same. The only thing is that we have to remove that cataract from our eyes. When a person has cataract in his eyes, then he has to go for a small operation. And when that is removed, again he sees the brightness and he sees everything perfect. So the sins have brought about that curtain of our eyes. And if we remove that before going there, then inshallah we will see a lot of things. But it has to be removed. And the only way it can be removed is by sincere repentance and tawbah from here before we depart. Not waiting until we land. Because it has become so easy today that I can pick up a newspaper, look at one of the advertisements, well, it is 10,000, 8,000, 20,000, whatever it is. If I've got the money, I buy a ticket and I sit down in the next plane and off I go. Without any preparation, people just land there. So what happens after that is that they return from there with material goods and very little spirituality. But if the preparation is being made from here, that if you have got 2 weeks to go, 1 month to go, then from now to start making a 5-time namaz with jamaat, to start paying back people's dues, not that the person is owing so many merchants and the merchants are chasing after him and he is sitting there making nafil hajj and umrahs and tawafs, whereas here he is getting the curses of all those people. Then that kind of hajj and umrah is not hajj maqbool and umrah maqbool. So he corrects that, he corrects his intention that why am I going? Am I going just for business reasons, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the middle class will go. And then he said, the learned people, the ulama, they will go there just for show, that so and so made so much hajj. And the poor people will go there for begging. Thousands of riyals were found in one poor beggar's pocket on the way. So, and most of those beggars that are there in the Haram Sharif, they are millionaires. Because at the time of hajj, if they make one round, then they collect nothing less than 100,000. Because people give 100 riyals, 200 riyals, 50 riyals. I've seen people, some Arabs take out a whole pile of notes and give it because he's got a broken hand or he's limping. But they are all professional beggars. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that some will go there just for begging. So people go with different intentions. Now that does not mean that every learned person goes for show, every person goes there for begging, or every middle class person goes for business. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is warning us that you should not be one of them. Your intention must be nothing but to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala ordered that I must make namaz, I was making my namaz. In my namaz I left my little house and I came to the masjid. I left the family at home and I came to the masjid, they were just 5 minutes away or 20 minutes away. But I made my namaz and I went back home. For a few minutes I was away from the family. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said that I must give up food and drink in the month of Ramadan, so I gave it up from dawn to sunset. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, from your wealth give so much away as zakat. All these were signs of that you have got love for Allah Ta'ala. Because when a person is in love with somebody, then he wants to talk to the person. So namaz is communication, talking. When a person is in love with somebody, then sometimes he forgets to eat and drink also. And he says also that today I forgot to eat and drink also. So to show that Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah, I can give up my food and drink also for your love. So Ramadan was there. Then the person likes to spend out of his wealth. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made zakat to show, and sadaqat to show that I've got love for Allah Ta'ala, and in the love for Allah I'm prepared to spend out of my wealth. Now you are saying that, oh Allah, in your love I am prepared to leave my hometown, I am prepared to leave my city, my country, my family, my business, everything, and come away to your house because you are calling. So if hajj has become farz, then this is what the person goes for, that he is going to gain the closeness of Allah Ta'ala and to get Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. So that is that preparation, the first thing, that niyat, to correct that niyat, that we are going for no other reason except to get this pleasure of Allah. Now we say, how can we get that? It is a very difficult thing, impossible to get. Everybody goes, they say, we are going for pleasure of Allah, there is no such thing as that. It is not a difficult thing. If a person makes an effort, Hazrat Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi, one of his students once told him, Hazrat, you keep saying, namaz padho Allah ke liye. But how can we make for Allah? When we come, we make our namaz, but sincerely for Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. So he didn't tell him anything that time. One night, tahajjud time, he just told him, he says, Maulana, Allah ke liye uth jao. So the Maulana got up. He said, Maulana, Allah ke liye wuzu kar lo. So Maulana made wuzu, he said, Allah ke liye. Then he said, Maulana, Allah ke liye do rakat pad lo. That Maulana says that the first time is that sweetness of that namaz, that it was really for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That means you got to keep checking your intention. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then put the sweetness of those ibadat and those amal into our hearts. You and I, we do not have this sweetness today, therefore we are not looking forward towards it. When you give the child a sweet and he tastes the sweetness, then he wants another one. So as our other Shaykh, Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Damat Barakatum, always gives that example, and you have heard that example too. He says that how we keep saying that how can sweetness come into the heart? How can Iman have a sweetness? We can't taste sweetness in Iman. He says, if Allah Ta'ala did not put sweetness into the sugar cane, outwardly what is the sugar cane? It's very similar to bamboo sticks. So if Allah Ta'ala puts sweetness into sugar cane, because if you dig that ground where that sugar cane was planted, you will never taste sugar in that earth. Has anybody tasted sugar where the sugar cane was planted? So who puts the sweetness into the sugar cane? So if Allah Ta'ala puts sweetness into the sugar cane, which is very much like bamboo sticks, and that sweetness, or from that sugar cane we make our sugar, and that sugar sweetens all our things. So if Allah can put sweetness into stick, cannot He put sweetness into flesh? What's the difference? Why should we doubt it? Just because we are seeing all the time sugar cane growing, and then it is crushed, and then they make sugar. So therefore we do not even ponder for 1 minute and realize that the sugar didn't just come into that sugar cane from the ground. It is Allah Ta'ala that put it in there. So if He can put it in there, cannot He put it into the heart? So Allah will put it into the heart after that. Then that Hajj and that Umrah, it will bring about, as I say, a complete change in that person's lifestyle. So when we are talking of preparation, one is that preparation, as we say, that you must make a choice of your agent from here, proper choice. Because there are lots of quarrels and fights and arguments that take place there. And if I recall, it was, I think, in this masjid that I gave one Hajj talk in which I said that many, many agents, they make 5-star promises here, but they speak 6-star lies. So therefore the Hajis give them 7-star swearing there. Because they make those promises here. If the room is a small room, in that building sometimes they have a small room, they have a larger room, and they have a very big room. So they will show you a video, or they will show you a picture of a room. Which one? The largest one. And they will quote you a price. And those kinds of rooms will be only 4 or 5 there. So the first 5 or 6 family members or friends or contact people will get those rooms. Now the rest of them will then create an uproar there. So you don't blame them because they were shown something and now they are being given something else. So these are the type of things that causes all this type of wrangling and hassles there and quarrels there. So find out from people who have been for Hajj and all that, and whoever says, well, so and so is a reputable agent, then you can do your booking through him. And try your best using your intelligence to make sensible decisions. But after you have made that decision, after you have made that booking, and after you have found your accommodation, so then in that Mubarak lane, if some difficulty, some problem, some hardship comes, then we must be prepared to take it in that spirit. that this is a cleansing process. Allah Ta'ala is cleaning us, purifying us, putting us through a little bit of test and trial so that we may get purified and cleaned. And that is not the place then to have court cases and war. So that preparation is also important, that the person must make a proper choice. And of course, those who are experienced with that Muassasa Hajj thing now, it's not that expensive and it's not that difficult and it is not that inconvenient. In fact, many, many people are making Hajj in 2,000 rand because that tax which you are paying at the airport, that tax is actually a payment for that Muassasa Hajj. That means you've already paid for it. So that Hajj after that becomes free. You only pay for that air conditioning or whatever it may be. Therefore, in these days, if a person has got sufficient money, and by sufficient we will mean that the person can get reasonable accommodation there, and he has the airfare, so in 8-10,000 rands, the person can, or Hajj will become farz on him, if he's got enough after that to leave behind for his family, whilst he's away on Hajj. And nowhere in any kitab, or nowhere in the Quran Sharif, or nowhere in any book of jurisprudence does it state that if Hajj becomes farz on you, then you must wait until your wife also has sufficient money, or you have sufficient money to take her with, until you have enough money to take your grandchildren with, so you must keep waiting, or until you have enough money to get that very expensive 5-star Hajj. It doesn't state all that. If a person has got sufficient money, then he must go. Hajj is farz on him. And it doesn't state anywhere that you must go and spend 6 weeks there, and 8 weeks there, and 10 weeks there. If a person has got enough money to make 3 weeks of Hajj and three weeks stay there, then he must go. Hajj is farz. And remember that if Hajj is farz and the person does not go, then he will see, according to the hadith, that Hajjis will go and return, and this person, he will still not be over with those problems of his. And sometimes it will happen that that money which he had, by the time the next year comes, that money will also be spent, and he will be involved in debts, and now he will not be able to come out for years after that. Or he was fit and healthy, and he had the money to go, but he postponed it and delayed it for invalid reasons. So then before the next Hajj comes, Allah Ta'ala might get some sickness, or he'll fall ill, and now he'll not be able to travel. So therefore, a person should not delay his Hajj. If Hajj has become farz, then he must make it and make dua that Allah Ta'ala gives him again enough to take his wife with, or before the days of Hajj come, some arrangement is made to take her with too. But lots of people are just postponing it because they say, I haven't got enough money to take so and so. And then again, this Hajj, Allah Ta'ala does not benefit one bit. Same way from gold and iron, in the same way, this Hajj and Umrah, it removes poverty. And that is the experience of everyone who made Hajj sincerely, made Hajj with the money that was halal, and after Hajj he did not indulge in those things which take away the barakat of sustenance. Because after Hajj, if the person indulges in gambling, or if he indulges in giving interest, or if the person goes and bonds his properties and then pays huge amount of interest to the bank and gets poor, or that person, after Hajj, he indulges in adultery and fornication, then if he gets poor, he has nobody to blame but himself. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that person doesn't become poor, then he doesn't become poor. In fact, lots of people who've made ends meet and somehow they saved a little bit of money and they went away for Hajj. After Hajj, their rosy opened up. Different sources Allah Ta'ala started providing. So sincerity is the main thing. Halal risk and sustenance. Preparation will mean that the person must make sure that he's going with halal risk. He must not be carried away by the winnings of people at gambling dens. As I mentioned in one of the talks, that when people see in the newspapers, like recently they saw that some woman won 5 million rand. So the saliva also runs in the mouths of everybody. And they say, how fortunate, how lucky. I wish I also had that kind of win. Whereas a Muslim, to him that win and a win of 5 million pigs and swine is the same. That means if it appeared in the paper that this woman won 5 million pigs, 5 million bottles of wine. So if you had to read in the newspaper that a Muslim so-and-so, he won 5 million pigs, what would we all say? Very fortunate, very lucky. We'll make this, Tawbah, Tawbah, Astaghfirullah. So just as you would make Tawbah and Astaghfirullah for that, that 5 million rand must be just like that to us. Absolute filth. We must not even give it any consideration. We must regard it as good for the non-Muslim, but for a Muslim, we must say that it is absolute filth. If it comes, it will destroy the person's halal earnings too. So halal earnings is extremely important. Sincerity of intention. Asking forgiveness from whomever we may have harmed. That is another important thing. That is a preparation. That those people with whom we have our contacts and our association, if we have offended them, hurt them, we have trampled upon their rights, then to seek forgiveness from them. So Allah Ta'ala does not forgive those sins until those people forgive. So that is another part of the preparation. We will just stop here because there are many other things. I had only intended to speak about 15-20 minutes today, tonight. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala wills, then on Tuesday night we will have another talk for about half an hour, 45 minutes. And it will carry on like that until Allah wills. Those that are going for Hajj can proceed. And those that are not yet proceeding, then they can participate and listen to some virtues of Hajj and virtues of Madina Tayyibah. And the Masail of Hajj also, inshallah, will cover the 5 days, one of the nights. So the next talk, inshallah, will be on Tuesday night, same time after Isha, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.